Welcome back, audience. This is Joe Van with episode 5 of The Secret Podcast. So my guest today is the first male on the podcast. Say hello, guest number 6.
Hello, hello.
I've known this guy a really long time. So far, I've known all of my guests a really long time. I've yet to bring on anyone who's an acquaintance. But, you know, I'm sure that'll happen in a future episode. In any case, I'm just going to get right into it with the first question. Are you ready? Guest number 6.
Is that the first question?
Yes. All right. Yes. Dope. What is your profession?
I'm a tree climber.
Is that the official?
Yeah. Isn't it like, popular? I'm an arborist, but I'm technically not an arborist because I don't have my ISA. I plan on getting it this winter, but technically, yeah, like I'm a foreman and everything like that.
Yes,
you know. But technically, I am just a tree climber.
You could say you're unofficially an arborist.
I usually just don't bother explaining it. Like I say, or I just say I climb trees.
Yeah, true. Very nice. For the next question, are you in a relationship?
Yes.
Very nice. Is this light? Is it open? Is it closed? What's your situation?
It's it.
For all the fangirls who are dying to get a hold of you.
It's the voice, I know.
Yeah.
No, this is the one.
All right, very nice. It's very confident.
Yeah.
All right.
When you know, you know.
When you know, that's true. I know the feeling. That's good stuff. Yeah. You guys been together long, or is this like...
No, we just had our anniversary.
Okay, very nice.
So, just over a year.
And you guys are chilling. Like, you've been in every situation, so it's like, you know. There's not a situation where she's going to, like, freak out or you're going to, like, crumble and she won't be there. It's like, you guys know that you're solid.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. Right, good. Yeah. It's good stuff. I'm testing your confidence, and you got it. Rock solid. Next question, and this one is probably the most vague. How was your early life?
Good.
Good. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Was it lonely or was it jam-packed with people?
Because
today's children, you know, all they have is TV.
Definitely wasn't lonely. Big family, big extended family that's close.
Oh, yeah.
And I was always playing sports when I was younger. So definitely not lonely, but I still liked finding time to be alone.
Yeah, you enjoyed solace. Because, yeah, like, I mean, you can't change who you are. So if you're born an introvert, you're born... It's like being born gay. It's just... It's a aspect of your personality. So even though you were jam-packed full of people, you still liked time alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy socializing. I also enjoy never seeing people.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're the exact same one.
A balance of that kind of dynamic.
Yeah, like, I would go insane if I was just always alone. Like, that sucks. You just become depressed. But it's like...
Not necessarily.
You don't think you'd have that cabin fever sensation?
It's like, well,
2 weeks in a row.
Depends. Like, if you're just holed up in your room for all that time, yeah, obviously that's going to set in quicker. But if you're...
Going to grocery shopping.
If you're traveling and...
Having interactions.
Just being out.
Or like in nature.
In the world. Well, even so, like Nick.
Hiking for 2 weeks.
My friend went to South America on a cycling trip for 3 weeks or a month. Or a long, maybe even longer. It was a long time. Three countries. Colombia, something else, and Peru. And he said it was awesome, but... Definitely started feeling like really lonely after a while, and not in the sense that like, oh, I feel isolated. It's just like you miss people that are really close to you.
And especially the whole foreign country thing. That's a different language. Like, you could maybe make friends if it was in England, but it'd be a lot harder.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Like English.
Well, yeah, obviously.
English is a pretty widespread language. And so, yeah, you're going to come across people that don't speak any of it. You'll come across people that can speak a little bit. as long as you speak a little bit of something else, you guys can kind of meet halfway.
Yes.
Like the guy I met on a trip a few years ago was Spanish from Colombia, but he spoke better English than I did Spanish.
Yeah.
Because they have to learn it to go to school.
He went
to Europe
like
for engineering. But nice. So we were able to like meet halfway, a bit of like hand talking and physical gestures,
body expressions
to get words across. But yeah, just the that slight crossover can go further.
And I feel like as far as like trying to make a friend in a foreign land goes, it's like it's almost like in movies and stuff, they have those elements of the fish out of water where the main character is naive or they're put in this extraordinary situation that they're not used to.
Yeah.
But obviously the real life version of that a lot of the time could be not as exciting, like obviously with your friend too.
Well, I find often people that set out, whether it's on a trip or a night out, set out with a goal of like go out and make friends or like go out and bring a girl home or something like that.
Yeah.
You don't end up enjoying the full experience of your time doing what you're doing because you're too goal driven. So you're actually distracted from the fullness of each moment.
Yeah.
So like things you want to happen will happen without you trying if you just be you.
Yeah.
And you stop trying to like come across a certain way or
and even on that note, it's like sometimes like you can set out to put yourself out there and still be yourself and everything, but a lot of times, like, you could get in your own way if you're, like, I'm just imagining for myself because I spent a day going in the wrong direction in France when I was going to meet a bunch of family members. And so, it was terrible. Like, I was supposed to go to Brussels and I ended up in Lyon, which is 800 kilometers in the wrong direction at the bottom of France. No, I was just naive. I was hoping that the general public would help me. And so it's like, you know, they were barely speaking English and they were just like, oh, you take this train here and here. And then I ended up in the wrong direction. And I was talking to train conductors too. And they're like, you're going to want to keep going.
Yeah. But like, even though you don't practice French anymore, like that's our second language. I know you know how to say, excuse me. You can just say, excuse me, I don't speak French well. And then just say the place you're trying to get to.
Yeah, but it was because of the whole situation. It's kind of like when people like complain about scary movies and they're like, oh, why would the person go in that room? Or why were they like scrambling their keys or something?
That's not the point of the movie.
If I was in that situation, I wouldn't. But it's like, you don't think rationally when you're scared. And
yeah.
So not that I was scared in France, but I was definitely extremely nervous. And so because of that, my brain wasn't working properly. Like it turns you into like those stiff sheep, the ones where it's like
no,
you scare them to go. And
I'm
then
here
it's like
on this trip by myself and I can do everything by myself.
And then once you're actually in it, you become
oh fuck.
Yeah, like panicking just completely
like
fucks with the head.
In sports psychology, one of my courses in university, that's like a phenomenon, like people watching sports games.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what are you doing? Don't do that. It's like you're watching it from a bird's eye view.
With your
on your couch,
yeah.
On, from like you can see everything. You're not in the moment.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You don't have blood pumping in your brain.
Like,
brain acts differently.
Everyone's a professional athlete from the coach.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone can be like a pro coach. Being like, ah, that's the wrong move.
Then there's like, my physics teacher in high school said, as far as like doing your homework and practicing things goes, like you might know something. Like I know what events are in a decathlon.
Yeah.
But by no means could I successfully complete one. Because I haven't trained every part of it. And academia is the same way. It's kind of what he was trying to say.
Yeah, textbook is the halfway. You
know? That's why I struggled with physics. Like, I love the concepts, but I wasn't very good at math. Like, I was okay at just straight math. Okay.
Yeah. but not creative math.
Like, I was good with like more simple math, like data management, like probability and statistics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Advanced functions, I was like, okay. But then physics, everything is like, it's like a paragraph of a question. It's not like solve for this equation. It's like,
figure out
based off the way things are worded, what calculations you need to use to combine with each other to figure out what's being asked. And that always threw me for a loop.
Yeah, I want to have fun with that. Yeah, it takes a special someone, you know?
It's just a certain type of thinker, for sure.
Yeah, it's like people are born differently. Like, let's...
Absolutely. Let's get to this point where specialized education plans and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I land in the 90% of people who... No, I shouldn't say 90. Because most people are average or below.
Average
not
or
to
below
be pessimistic. A general
IQ?
A. Yeah. IQ-wise, I think people stop learning by the time they're like 13.
No, you should always be learning.
From a social aspect, you continue to learn.
No, other aspects too, as long as you're mindful.
You memorize it and then forget it.
No, memorization is different than truly learning something.
I know. Saying in school, they basically teach us to memorize. And so people don't get past that.
On the surface. But what they're really doing is teaching you to think.
Ask questions.
To think more critically.
Yeah.
I'm sure that doesn't come across as clearly in certain settings of education, just based on the curriculum structure. Or also, there's also like the general level of what can be taught to a class, so it holds some people back. Some people can't keep up with it, so they find that middle ground. There are also gifted people that take more intense courses and people that struggle that take different ones. And then there's also kids, I'll just use autism spectrum as an example. They're such unique minds that you can't create like a even a separate from the general education plan, you can't create a general curriculum for those children.
Just autism.
It's
yeah.
personal, specialized for the person, because even though in general, everybody learns things in different ways, in a general variety of ways, like not everyone learns things in a completely unique way.
Yeah.
They process it in a completely unique way. But
with people thought
kids on this
way more extreme.
Yeah.
Because of the social aspect.
Yeah, and their communication skills and things like that.
Yeah, so yeah, obviously the educational system can't be perfect because of how difficult the human mind is. We don't even fully know it. We're continuing to learn. And that's what I love about today's day and age. You know, sure we don't have everything figured out, sure a lot of bad stuff's happening. But, you know, it's one of those things like the Star Trek concept. What happens when you perfect society? Everyone gets bored. You start venturing out into space, trying to find, like, less advanced civilizations just to look at them and observe them. Like, what happens to a civilization when it accomplishes all its goals? Start a war? That way there's conflict? You know? It's like, people need difficulties in life, right? Like, we were bred through evolution to deal with difficult situations. So if we were just to accomplish everything, so what would society do? It's like, you know, it's like
now what?
Yeah, exactly. It's a problem in philosophy.
Well,
it's
like,
given perfection, you would just break.
That one episode of Rick and Morty, I forgot what season it's in, but his car battery is actually the microverse.
Yeah.
But then they've evolved to a point where someone in the microverse creates his own microverse.
To fuel their universe.
Yeah, and it's like...
It just keeps going, and they're like, hey, that's just slavery with more stuff.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, eventually you'll get to a point where you just perfect it, and then you're like, yeah, basically now what?
And so I got on a totally random, out there thought.
Yeah.
We're such a blip in existence, right?
Of course.
It's tough for us to see beyond that because all we know is what's been documented.
Yeah.
But there could have been...
You're talking about the Fermi paradox.
Or no, no, I'm thinking of like cosmic consciousness and like beings or entities or whatever.
Something
different organisms of different scale perceive time differently.
Yeah. Well,
so there could have been these things that achieve what you're talking about, got bored. Like, we're a microverse, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so yeah, I feel
in
like
theory,
you're bridging two theories together there, which you can do with so many theories. It's kind of fun. Most people look at
intelligent design.
Well, intelligent design in a sci-fi way, right?
Yeah.
And plus the whole Fermi paradox thing. Just
I've never heard
of
it
earlier. The Fermi paradox, I don't know the equation, but it is a mathematical equation or formula, if you will, that calculates all the different variables.
I will.
Yeah. Of a possibility of there being advanced life forms. So right now we only know one, which is Earth, right? Because we're freaking here. And then they're like, why have we seen any yet? Or why haven't any been seriously documented? And it's like, because
there's things like the zoo theory.
But even further than that, they're like, yeah, so either one, they don't care and they look at us like we're zoo animals and they just observe us. Two, they wipe themselves out through a nuclear war. Three, a bacteria from an asteroid came and just wiped them all out, turned them into zombies or something. Four, they never get past an initial stage. So it's like, first off, we're doing better than that one, where it's like we have become advanced intelligent life forms.
On a side note,
but, yeah,
little like asterisk, or maybe we'll put it in parentheses.
Okay.
Say, all these theories you're suggesting are restricting other forms of existence to the reality that we live in and understand.
Physical bodies with brains, yeah.
Like, so, they could just exist as light and sound. They could just exist in
and
vibrations.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, because I would say as far as the, like, there are certain theories that have more validity than others when it comes to intelligence, like outside the box thinking of intelligence, where they could just be beams of light or whatever. Or balls of light or whatever.
To us.
Yeah. Is one, they're fourth dimensional creatures, which is that a lot of people say what was it? So Vsauce is this guy on YouTube, and he came up with this example to give when thinking about the fourth dimension.
Was he inspired by Interstellar?
No, I think this was before that. When you look in a mirror, you think it's a mirror reversing your image, like it's imprinting and then going like this kind of thing, because your eye sees from left to right. So when it hits it and refracts back, it basically just flips the right to the left to the right, because it's like a piece of paper, a mirror, right? A mirror is like a piece of paper. But they would say if a fourth dimensional creature were to exist, your left shoulder and your right shoulder, it's the mirror end what you see. They're indistinguishable, left and right, up and down. Because we view things spatially, but spatially is on the third dimension, up, down, left, right, in, out, depth, right? Two dimensions is any shape, but on a flat plane. Three dimensions has depth.
Right.
So to a fourth dimensional creature, things can like fold inside of itself, like a weird, trippy squid eating itself or something, right? To imagine something that fluid. And for us to even conceive a fourth dimensional creature would be something that would just appear either as a ball of light or as some weird shape. So first there's nothing, and then it would just appear, yeah, and go, and then go back into itself and disappear. Because for them, we're just a plane, like two dimensions is, right? Like if they're just
going
through,
beneath
us, yeah.
Well, like existentially, we're beneath.
Yeah, like we to like them to us is us to some sort of loose film in a sheet of water.
Another,
you just go through it, and to them, what they would see is this circle, like if it's my finger and my fist, they would see a circle get bigger and bigger, and then the second circle would appear, and then this weird long ovalated shape, and then it would disappear. Does that make sense? Because that plane is to them the only
thing
that
exists. See, like,
we would just, it, for them, it would be three-dimensional, a shadow, basically. So what we're seeing going like this and then disappearing is from them going from one three-dimensional universe to another three-dimensional universe. Because we're stacked on top of each other.
So
and
just
what
sliding
through the filters.
Planes.
Yeah. And why that, and what those planes are is time and the multiverse. So well, they time, walk through the multiverse like a landscape. Because time doesn't really
time's
exist.
Time's a man-made construct.
Yeah, but the motion exists. That's the one thing. It's like math, where it's like we create a language for it, like by saying time, to try and understand the nature of what is, which is movement. So things move.
Yeah.
Particles shake. That's what we perceive as time. And
that's
one plus one
we perceive as matter.
Yeah. And the movement is what we call time. From one place to another. Whether I go like this, or whether a particle goes like this. It was once here, and then it shook together.
Yeah, I guess, right? But that, the construct of time that we follow and stuff like that, revolves around the movement of the
sun.
Of the Earth.
Yeah, gravity.
The sun doesn't move.
So,
well, it does, but not us.
So for us, yeah, literally just our gravitational position around the sun. Because in sci-fi and stuff, they call it soul time.
All this, like, you know, it's like shower thoughts.
Yeah,
you know,
of course. Yeah.
Okay, so there's this one thought. Imagine being the people to start time.
Yeah.
Spending their whole life just staring at the skies and writing everything down. You make one mistake, you got to retire and pass it on to your children to start over.
Yeah.
One mistake fucks everything up. Your whole life's work. But then there's also, like, I don't know how the Chinese calendar works, but I know that the Jewish calendar for, like, all their holidays and stuff like that, that revolves around a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar.
Yeah.
What we use is a solar calendar.
Yeah.
But there's also, paganism, you know, like winter solstice and stuff like that. That also is lunar.
Oh, I thought. Oh, yeah.
That's a lunar calendar.
So time, you can make up whatever you want. Same with math in a way, because I'm pretty sure the Egyptians used the digits of 12. They didn't call it 12. For them, 12 was 10, and for us, we can't possibly, because they use their knuckles instead of their fingers to count. So there was 12 instead of 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So, and
here,
hey,
so you got 8?
At home, you can
count
yourself.
No, you got 8, 8, that's 16.
Oh, then just for 1.
17, 18.
Sorry, then just 1.
Oh, because they would.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, but they didn't call it 12. It was just their whole, like, that was the whole after that. But we can't even perceive that. We just go 10, 1, 0. So obviously the ones and the zeros is like binary code. There can't be anything else. But for them, they didn't call it 12. It wasn't 1, 2 for them. It was their 1, 0, except it was 12 digits. So you just make up imaginary numbers, whatever you will, in between them. Stuff like that, where it's like math is just a language we use to try and understand the universe. 1 plus 1 equals 2.
Yeah, but it's a universal language. Like no matter
that
what language you speak,
you can still
math is still math.
You can still see two
and you can,
strips on a
you
thing
can, you
and
can,
go, that's two.
You can prove things with math.
That yeah, that's why math is the
you
easiest
can,
thing to
well,
use
I
for
use
a situation.
Like physics, like calculus, like prove
that this you know something at
theories.
That point. In the
that's field. Why I was telling you earlier. Like physics is considered a hard science versus. Like, biology is still considered a soft science. Like, still, so anything with ology at the end is a science.
Yeah.
But.
Nephology is my favorite. I love clouds, man. I'm not a hippie, but goddamn, do I love clouds. Yeah, so. You know, what are you going to do? Theories are fun. Philosophy is fun. Science is fun. Anyone who isn't a critical thinker, You gotta sit down in front of a fourth dimensional mirror and ask yourself, why? How did I get to this place?
What I would ask is why you pronounced why. Like
that's
the
how,
H was first.
That's how they used to. No. I said why.
Yeah, like H-W-Y.
No, why. It just sounds
why?
Like it's happening at the same time. It's like making
no,
two noises at once.
Like...
It's like I'm making a... And I'm making both noise at the same time. You can do two things at once, vocally. Anyway,
no,
this is derailed like a mother trucker.
I can barely talk.
True. I don't know. I can't roll my R's, so as far as linguistics,
oh, I can roll
my
R's.
You can do it?
Not fluidly
really.
Conversation. Really.
Damn, I wish
not
I could do something
like
that.
If I'm
speaking Dutch to someone, you couldn't hit the same notes they could.
I can't speak.
Well, repeating. Dutch,
but I mean, like, even in like Spanish or French.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to keep like the, forgot what it's called, like your phonetics, like
phonetics,
the subtle pronunciations, plus the cadence of speech.
Yeah.
That's why often if you're in a place you don't know the language, it just sounds like gibberish.
Yeah.
Because all the words blend together because you can't distinguish how to separate them yet.
Yeah. And hey, that's that whole Facebook post from like 8-10 years ago where there was a sentence and I read it and I was like, this is weird. But then like double taking it, it was like only a certain number of people can read the sentence fully. And every word that had four or more letters, the first and last letter were the same, but everything inside was scrambled.
Yeah.
But your brain still fully deciphered it with 100% accuracy. And it's like, yo, fuck you, brain.
Because if you're intelligent, you just process the whole...
Well,
this is just like my opinion.
Yeah.
If you're a generally intelligent person, you look at the whole word at a time. You don't read it letter by letter. Like, when you're learning how to read and you sound it out, yeah, you go letter by letter. But you've seen words so many times that as long as it's the right amount of letters in the word and the start and end are the same and all the letters in the word are the same, but no matter what the order is, like, because you'll notice, like, high points, like T's and L's,
oh, yeah.
And H's and things like that.
The shape.
So you just kind of, like, like, through your...
Yeah, because your brain does it for you, and that's what they say with the whole you don't have free will, is like, imagine just not hearing me say elephant. You can't not hear me say the word elephant. Every time I say elephant, you know exactly what I mean. You can't just tell your brain to stop understanding the elephant. If you had true control of your own brain, you'd be able to do that, but you can't. There's way more. That's just a mini example. There's way more discussion to have against
free will. So you're saying if you had true free will...
You could
just like reset your mind like a machine.
Well, no,
like
you could
memory.
You could hit like an invisible.
Like control alt delete.
You wouldn't want to, but sure, if you have complete control, even though that seems more physically impossible because it's a physical. Your brain's a physical thing.
Yeah. Also,
you have to stab yourself in the head.
I feel like reason why you die and you remember so much more than you realize. It's just usually in your subconscious.
You don't get to choose. Yeah.
Like. Every dream you have, all the characters in it and the places are things you've seen. Maybe not where you've been, but you've seen it in a film or a show, or you've been to it.
Yeah.
And they might be like random strangers in your dream, but it's because you like pass them on the street at any point in your life.
Yeah, and that's why I in the fourth book, which, you know, I'm not even halfway through writing it yet because I'm getting bombed out.
Do you publish the third? Or are you just finished?
It's published. Nice. I'm refinishing the second.
I'm still on the first. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But yeah, I have a topic point at the beginning of each book. And for the fourth one, I ask a question. You know, what if there was an intelligent human being? Obviously, he's a baby. It's like, it can't be helped. But if you were this human being I was going to say, if you were born, but you were born deaf, dumb, and blind, deaf, mute, and blind, you would probably be put out of your misery because the doctor goes, oh, this thing isn't responding to anything, and it's shaking it. Maybe your nerves also snap.
Not
so this
day and age.
No external. Yeah, yeah. So you have no external sensation.
It's alive.
But here's my thinking.
They give you an ultimatum, probably,
yeah.
As a parent.
So let's say, let's not kill it. So this baby is now a thinking thing, but it's never experienced anything. What kind of dreams would it have?
It has experience. It's experienced birth. Nobody thinks about this because you don't have developed memories until a little later.
Oh, but I guess you still go, I'm hungry. Wah.
Birth is a very traumatic experience.
Yeah.
Like that's why in one of the things I remembered from a Buddhism course I took was it sounds pessimistic, but it's really not. Life is suffering.
Anyone
not
understands
constant.
That. No, it's not constant.
But that helps you, like, it revolves, yeah, and it revolves around it. And it's that suffering that if you realize this will pass, it doesn't overwhelm you as much. It might not make it any easier to get through, but it, whatever. Like,
it is what it is. And plus, I'll say this.
You appreciate good moments more, and you get through hard moments a little tougher because you know it's not going to last for forever. And it's hard to be able to take that step back and view things objectively.
Yeah,
because we're emotional creatures.
Yeah, I was literally about to say that. And as far as the emotion part goes, so maybe it is birth that causes this. But the human condition always has these two things that many animals may not experience, or at least predatory animals. Or no, they probably do, but ever so slightly. And for us, every single person has this issue. It just varies on the level of it, is anxiety and depression. Those two things, no one can say they have no issues, because everybody, just being alive and being conscious, gives you anxiety and it gives you depression. In moments of quiet or in moments of stress, you will have one of those two things, or both. You may have it very little. You may have it a lot. It may be at a point where you can't be productive, or it may be the driving force behind your productivity. But to be human are those two things.
Yeah.
So accept it, be self-aware, and you'll be better off.
I have issues with both. Haven't been really bad in a long time, but they always come in, like, waves.
Yeah.
Years ago, when it was probably, like, arguably the worst it's been, did therapy, no medication, just talk therapy, and learned tools so that I'm better able to deal with future impending, sounds a little dramatic, but like
possible impending.
Recurring instances in the future.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't had to go back since. It is very hard to pull yourself out of a situation and view it objectively. But going through that process, pretty much all you did was you'd get me to talk, and you would listen until I came to a point where I was done my like rant or whatever.
Yeah.
And it wasn't psychoanalysis. He would just ask me questions to ask myself, kind of.
Yeah.
He'd be like, okay, so why do you think that these things are like this, or do you think there's any correlation between these things? Or rather than be like, even like without psychoanalysis, sometimes people like that are like suggestive. It's like, oh, so do you think that you're feeling this way because this is like this?
Yeah. That way they don't tell you.
He was just like, can you see any dots to connect here? Like, I don't know. Because as a third party, you are completely objective.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
But he was, if any of the audience is familiar with schools of psychology, it was more of a Carl Rogers method. There's like three main figures in approaches to psychology.
Yeah.
I can only remember two, don't remember the third. It's obviously Freud, psychoanalysis.
Which is now looked at as not...
Well,
totally truthful. Because for him, he was like, this is
too subjective. It was like his opinion based on what you told him because of his extensive knowledge.
Yeah.
Carl Rogers, which is a similar approach to what I took, is just like pure empathy. Like, it's a comfortable setting. Say what you want to say. Don't say what you don't want to say.
Hopefully, walk it.
But yeah, I did every time.
Yeah.
And then progressively came out of that. And I was like, all right, like, don't feel a need to keep visiting you. I'm obviously always welcome back at any time.
Yeah.
But I feel, having gone through that process, now I can address things on my own.
Yeah.
And kind of get ahead of them. Like, when I notice things starting to get a certain way.
You could easily say
I just will address it rather than, like, let it envelop me.
Yeah, like the experience of just having someone listen to you and then give you a method. It, like...
Well, you didn't even give me a method. It's like that proverb in the Bible, like, give a man a fish, he'll eat. Teach a man to fish, he's set, kind of thing, yeah.
Is that a proverb from the Bible, or is that before the Bible? I know the Bible uses that teaching, but...
In the New Testament, I remember when I was younger.
Then, yeah, that's probably just
the Bible. In and around the time when he walked on water.
Yeah. Okay,
so... I dream I could buy my way to heaven. When I woke, I spent that on a necklace.
But yeah, so we're almost 36 seconds in. Seconds! We're about 36 minutes in. And we really haven't touched any questions. So that's I call that a success. I got to have you back to ask the rest of the questions.
That's
but
fine.
So now that we're at this junction in the over halfway mark, I'm going to flip it to opinion. Are you ready for opinion section of the Joe Van Secret Podcast?
This could be interesting.
Okay, ready. What is your opinion on guns?
I don't like them. I think Second Amendment in the States is always so referenced every time they talk about gun control. And I feel like it's just so misinterpreted. Because initially, that whole point was so that if you're armed, this is also back when people like muskets, that you gotta like pour, like it takes time to set it up. You're not walking around with like submachine guns and like.
Yeah, it's clearly a different plan.
You know, but that was also because the government's supposed to be for the people. So that amendment, also the term amendment means change. So I don't get why everyone.
It's like when people say the apocalypse is happening. The apocalypse doesn't mean the end, it means. Like the end of a chapter.
Like re-beginning, everyone's always like, oh, it's the Second Amendment, it's their rights. So the amendment means change. Like, that was brought in because they were making changes to the initial Constitution.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't that change again as times have changed?
It should evolve with
and
the technology.
My point that I was kind of start with there. I hate when I talk like that. It was because the government's supposed to be for the people. So it was if the government ever became almost the way it is now, at least the way I see it now.
Like in America's
specifically, yeah, but also in other parts of the world, communist parts where the government is everything. America does it just in a different way through capitalism and global economy and controlling that. But it was designed so that if the government ever became like that and it started looking like a dictatorship and went to a military state, you would be able to defend yourselves against your own government opposing you.
Yeah, and that's...
So, I don't know. I think guns are fucking stupid. I also think people that hunt for sport are stupid, let alone people. I get when people are like, oh, it's, you know,
an endangered
a security measure to defend my home.
Yeah.
If you have a handgun in your home in a lockbox to keep it away from your children,
you hear a bang downstairs.
Sure, you're keeping it safe. If you're in a situation where you need it, you could die in the time it takes you to open that lockbox. Like, all around, I think guns are stupid. Jim Jefferies made this point. He addressed it in one of his stand-up specials. In Australia, they banned them.
Yeah,
criminals will still be able to get a hold of them. It's the black market. But when things are much less accessible, the fact that they're harder to attain
brings more attention.
Petty crimes don't ever escalate to, like, murder or attempted murder.
Yeah, because there's a statistic that, and I'm certain that this is accurate, but I cannot give you the citation. But there was a statistic that said, in California, 1,000 people a day are shot. So not killed, but shot with a handgun.
In California.
In the state of California alone, 1,000 people a day. That is fucking insane. Just looking at statistics, mathematical statistics that are made up by facts, looking at those should make Americans tremble in their cowboy boots and say, what the fuck are we doing? This is clearly insane. It's like a population control, and they don't even know they're doing it. It's crazy. Anyway, but
they know they're doing it, but they not they,
the sheeple.
Yeah. There's hand gestures to differentiate the days.
Yeah, for those who can't see what we're doing right now somehow. Yeah. On to the next opinion question. What is your opinion on the paranormal? Are ghosts real?
Why can't they be?
My idea for why can't they be, and this isn't a shit on humans, but I think we're the same as anything else. Even though consciousness is special, and we can, in tiny, brief moments, reach a higher state of consciousness, it's extremely fleeting, and we are meat sacks. So when we die, the electrons in our brain shut off.
For now, we're super slowly evolving.
Like, and I agree with that. I think we can very much get to a point when we are a lot more advanced, not intellectually, but like just on an consciously.
Only reason we're the dominant species is due to our intellect and our higher level of consciousness. Being able to plan things. Like if we were just like other animals, we'd be fucked.
Not fucked, but
no, we'd
be like okay in nature.
We get mauled by other animals all the time. So the fact that we can design and create things is what has made us that. And so the combination of that evolution in our body, physically, we're probably not going to change too much in a great scale of time.
No, because
but
we control the
environment. Intellectually, we will continue evolving at a super slow rate as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
Like maybe never in our lifespan.
No,
I mean, might not even see individuals get that point in our lifespan.
Yeah.
But when I wrote an essay on cosmic consciousness, and one paper that I used as a reference for it was talking about throughout history, sporadic individuals that have done that, because that's how evolution happens. Slowly, it becomes more and more
mutations.
Prevalent.
Yeah.
More and more prevalent until that becomes a norm and then new mutations start.
Yeah.
So figures like Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, said St. Peter, St. Paul too, one of those guys. Like many, many prophets and religious figures.
Back into the network.
Well, yeah, like whether through effort or just naturally
their brains happen to have
doing that. Yeah. And that's why you see a lot of, I want to say intertextuality, but like they're not referencing each other. They're all like the main point of every religion is always the same. It's just the rules to it. Once it becomes a religion,
then all of a
and it's institutionalized
cultural.
And there's rules. The only reason why those rules come about is because of how the message was conveyed, and the reason why that message was conveyed in different ways was because different point in history, different cultures.
Yeah, you're a product of your time, so you gotta deal with whatever.
It's marketing.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Different audiences.
Yeah. All right, on to the next question. But that was a very good answer. What is your opinion on abortion? Got a lot of pro-lifes so far.
Yeah, that's fine. I think I'm pro-choice.
Yeah. Because I always give examples of, you know, what about... Because not like I'm, like, trying to sway anyone's opinion, because everyone's upheld to their opinion and I'm a host, right? I don't shun them for their opinion. I only shunned one guest. It was guest number 3, because she thought that space travel was irrelevant and not worth the effort. I'm like, how dare you? That is humanity's future. How dare you? Anyway, but I won't.
They might have been... I don't think this was their angle, just if that was a direct quote and not paraphrasing. I think that's a direct quote. Because you know in Interstellar, they stop teaching about space and stuff like that.
Because they don't want to make people depressed, maybe.
Yeah, well, no, it's because they didn't want people becoming passionately curious about that because the world was going to shit.
We needed farmers.
So they, well, not just farmers, just people to focus on taking care of Earth.
Yeah, we need you here right now.
So, like, because exploration is such a gamble, they were just taking the surefire route.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What I was saying earlier is that, like, the whole what do you even call it? Like, pre-advanced civilized way of living, like, across all boards, not strictly nomadic, like, even places with a home base or, like, a fort, if you will, like, Vikings, Native Americans, Aborigines, the variety of different, like, ranges of that in Asia, like, across all different parts of Asia. Like, that is so much more holistic and in tune with nature. And sure, they might have not consciously advanced to a point where they can begin to comprehend methods of getting out there. They were very observant of the stars and like where astrology came from. Yeah. That's the oldest religion. And then paganism evolved from that because they started anthropomorphizing it in a way.
Yeah.
But it's so much more holistic. And then as we progressed to a point where, like, we're having, you know, after the industrial era, where we're just like a more refined version of that now, we're still mass producing stuff.
Yeah. It's a consumer base
society. Yeah. And we're just abusing our resources.
Yeah. To what end, too? Literally just
to the point where, like, you can look at it, if Earth was a macrocosm of an animal cell.
Yeah.
Every organelle could, well, there's a lot less organelles than there are species, but just for, like, a comparison, every organelle does its own thing, has its own routine to survive on its own, and collectively maintain the life of the cell. Yeah. And then this collection of cells maintain the being,
the whole thing.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you look at Earth, all these different components on it, way back in the day, did function synergetically. But now, we're like, okay, so blow it up from a cell, sorry, like a being. So every species could be a cell. And they all co-interact for the greater good of the being of Earth.
Yeah.
Humans are a cancerous cell. We're growing at an exponential rate and destroying the body that we live on.
Yeah, we're destroying the other cells. It's like if our cells started to do that to us. Because that is literally what cancer is. Yeah.
Exactly.
A lung cell starts to grow in your stomach.
And then, random stupid thought, but then, like, you know, chemotherapy, you're poisoning your body
to make it better.
To kill those cells. It fucks your whole body up, but hopefully the point is to do it till the cancer's gone. And then you get off it and you heal.
Yeah.
An Earth. An apocalyptic type scenario
would do just that. It's like a bowl of hot soup.
Yeah.
And it, you know, cleanses out the humans. even though we're too smart, because the analogies only work to a point. You know, it's the same as people saying, oh, AI is just the next industrial revolution. No, it's not. It's not. You can't make that analogy because it is so radically different. Where it's not a cycle. It's not like the economy where we can see the waves and you can predict the future. It's not going to be the same. AI is completely going to change the game.
And the fact that the way it's progressing now and it can make its own decisions, like things...
Yeah. And it can start to eat information.
So we've...
Create its own language. You hear about
that? That's a loose we. And I know how to do this. But, like, the way that AI was designed is this supercomputer where you just enter as much information as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Or program it in a way that everything observed by it, it can reference to a database.
Yeah.
That, and we created that.
Yeah.
We don't know where we came from, a variety of theories.
Yeah.
We are a compilation of all our observations as well.
Yeah. All this information is sitting there.
Collectively throughout time.
Yeah, and our brains were created to take in that information and actually process
yeah.
it. Cats aren't made to process the information we are. We're made to literally take in this information.
They process different information. Like I...
No, everything's processing. They don't take in the same information the same way we do. When we take in information, it's like a sponge. You can be a doctor one day. You can just learn traits. Animals can't. They're just instinct-based. We can teach ourselves anything we want. We're basically like, a build-it-yourself bear, except we're the bear building ourselves. It's the frontal lobe. It's got to be. Like early humans, their frontal lobes were like chimpanzees, where it like basically almost wasn't there. So when it's like soft science with biology, but when you look at those two things and build the correlation, because the first hominids who separated from the chimpanzee cousins,
I forgot what it's called, but
the skull is Homo erectus.
Pronounced eyebrow ridge.
Yeah. And the forehead was like this. It was it didn't look concaved, but it went diagonally straight to the back of the head. It's the frontal lobe. And the hippocampus, too. Those two things make a smart. No, obviously there's way more to it, and we don't really know what consciousness is. But I do think there is some...
It's also like, we know, as much as we know about the brain, we know as much about how it works as we do about outer space.
Yeah, dark energy, which is 99% of the universe.
And I've heard, like, even depths of the ocean.
We don't know that either.
We hardly know as much about that either.
All right, as we're drawn to a close, I'll see if I can ask you two more questions. And then we'll get to the closing segment. So, what is your opinion on, let's go with, feminism?
I'm a feminist.
Hey, there you go. Easy answer. All right, what is your opinion, straight to the next one, on marriage?
I don't think you need it. I think you can have that commitment without the whole
legality ordeal. Yeah.
But
like, it's still sacred to a lot of people.
I know. Yeah.
The tradition has changed so much, though. It used to be property exchanging. You know, there's no romanticism behind marriage. And as the time grew,
way back.
The origin of marriage, yeah.
Well,
it was literally, let's exchange properties through our kids.
For the wealthy ones.
Yeah, no, but the people who loved each other and had kids, there was no ceremony.
No, right? There was. They got like, they just, it was small. They did it on their own. They got married like in secret, kind of like in Braveheart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Yeah. Not Scotland. But, yeah, and then romanticism came about in whatever, the medieval era, right? People with, I don't know, banjos or whatever started to get into it. My love.
Banjos.
What are those little guitars called? Strumming on something.
I don't
know. A folk guitar. I don't know what it's called. Little guitars. Anyway.
It's like...
So it's grown, and it's beautiful, and then rings were created from diamond companies, and a total manipulation.
No, rings weren't.
Sorry, diamond rings.
But the... engagement ring, diamond rings. Like, wedding bands are still very simple rings.
Yeah.
Diamond ring, yeah, that was just
manipulated.
Created.
Same with
the
Red
film industry helped with that.
Oh yeah, what, like Casablanca or something.
Oh no, just like all the when they made this plan, all the like romantic movies and stuff like that. They always started proposing with these diamond rings and everything like that. Yeah. Also, the cost of diamonds.
It's also made up.
Yeah.
Yo, there's a planet in outer
because
space
it's so controlled and secretive that they lie about like how rare they are.
Yeah.
Well, it's the rarity that creates the value, and they lie about.
They shut down any like an individual company, a boring company can say, hey, we're gonna open up shop in the middle of the Congo, and they go, okay, psh, there's nothing there. They actually find diamonds. They go, woo, we're rich. Obviously, they're still
they
a
buy
small
them
company.
Out.
Like, the big company buys them out and then tells them to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And then to keep this illusion
that's
going.
That's been happening regarding biofuels for a very long time. The oil companies will pay insanely stupid amounts of money to buy the designs.
Yeah.
And then just
roll
never see the light of day.
Yeah, I don't even have to ask you what your opinion on environmentalism is.
It's just all right
there. Yeah. And plus, literally, our talk about Mother Earth and all that jazz, too, throughout this thing. Okay, so we got 4 minutes left. I'm going to try and get one more out there.
Mm-hmm.
What is your opinion on legacy? Would you like to be remembered? Do you want to have kids to be remembered? Do you want to do your work to be remembered by? Or are you fine disappearing into the Gulf of Mexico? Your ashes.
Well, that was a little morbid. Yeah, no, I think I don't...
Like, it is a bit of an ego trip.
Right? I don't need to leave anything behind to be remembered by. People that I've developed relationships with will remember you, will remember me. And I feel like the closest thing to a legacy I would like to leave behind is having a positive impact on people that you encounter in your life.
Yeah.
To constantly be pushing myself to grow every day, to become more and more selfless. I think that was the right way to say that.
Yeah.
Less and less self-absorbed.
Yeah.
And just be a light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even if it's it's the little things. I'm not going to make some global impact. Like, not to cut myself short. It's just, I don't know. I don't kind of see that for myself.
Yeah.
But I feel like, to sound conceited for a second, I feel like I do have a generally positive impact on people that I choose to keep in my life. Even people that I have very brief encounters with, if they're someone of a decent person and not being a total turd, we'll both come away with some sort of uplifted feeling.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's my goal. I think legacy is
ought to be something like that.
It's for people can't see
don't
the
want
big,
to die.
Can't see the big picture.
Yeah.
They think the big picture is creating this legacy.
Yeah.
We're nothing. That's why do you think we see time as linear?
Carl Sagan did a whole thing on that where he's like, this tiny blue dot. And it's like an illustration of everything black and then the earth is tiny dot. And he's like, every conqueror, every warlord, every single good and bad intention, every empire in mankind happened here. Every person died here. Every person will for the foreseeable future. And all this stuff. And it's like, makes you feel small, but not in a depressing way. Like, it's very humbling in a good way. Like, I always come out of listening to geniuses like him or Alan Watts, and I always feel better, you know? It's, you know, but to each their own. And plus, a lot of people don't even think this way, right? People are on different spectrums. Some people are just like, I love Gucci.
Slowly, you're seeing a lot greater presence of people
getting better.
Even if they're disillusioned and they think they're like woke,
yeah.
But they keep bragging about being woke and
they're egotistical.
That's
not
the
main picture.
It.
Yeah.
And also, enlightenment and awakening are very different things.
Oh, yeah. Just being self-aware of something and then actually reaching a higher state of consciousness is different. But now, in the last 10 seconds, do you have any advice to give to the audience? Like, you know, live, laugh, love.
Find your purpose and be happy.
That's very good. Thank you very much.